Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Finally, I get to do a thanks for listening on the three-peats, 316. Jim Carrey, Ace Ventura, The Mask, Dumb and Dumber.
Now I know how it
feels. Join Blake.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's great.
I guess Jessica Alba and Derek Jeter dated? Damn. Good for him. No wonder he's the captain.
Yeah.
John Mayer's women in his life, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Jessica Simpson, Cameron Diaz, Minka Kelly, Jennifer Aniston, Taylor Swift, Kim Kardashian. Good Lord. So really what you're saying is get really good at the guitar and know how to sing and write music and you will have anything you want. Because talking sports. Anyway, just kidding.
How come like celebrities always date celebrities too? You never just see like the rando, you know? Like John Mayer's dating Sally. Yeah, like that never happens, right?
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Is Tom Brady and that girl still talking from Instagram who was trying to get after him last year?
If I was Tom, I would just stay single the rest of my life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean.
Absolutely.
Somebody says the best three-peat we didn't mention was Charlie Sheen's. Weed, cocaine, and heroin.
That's a one-peat. That's an afternoon for him.
That's right. I want to bring this up because we talked about how, you know, people will say, oh, I'm not going to listen to... You know, I'm not going to do any watching the Super Bowl because my team lost and BS. You're watching the Super Bowl. And then a lot of people have said, you know, I'm not watching because the Chiefs have ruined football. They get all the calls. Now there's a video out now. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the referee comes over to Patrick Mahomes and gives him trouble for the spike. And Mahomes like, I won't spike the ball ever again. The ref taps him on the chest and laughs.
What's wrong with that?
Because now they're friends.
Do you not know, like...
Well, they did it to Josh Allen. Now they do it to Patrick Mahomes. Well, you're liars. They do it all the time.
There's nothing wrong with that, to have that kind of relationship with guys in the NFL. That was a funny moment. Patrick Mahomes tries to spike a ball and throws it into
worst
the crowd.
Throw of the day.
Like, worst spike I've ever seen, right? And he said it as well. So the referee's not going to laugh about that and have a human moment. But that was awful. Don't ever try to do that again,
You
right?
might be the best in the world, but damn, you spiked the ball like crap, dude.
That's right.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Also, he was standing right next to the field. He didn't
right
go over to the bench. He didn't go over to the bench.
Right. It was right there on the field. So,
hey, I mean, people, trash spike.
But I mean, there was, and I'm trying to remember who the baseball player was, but wanted to get a picture in the All-Star game with Joe West, the umpire, because Joe West was going to retire. And he was one of your legendary umpires, you know, define legendary however you want. But there
John
was somebody,
Dechinger.
But wanted to get his picture taken with Joe West. I mean, like, you work with these guys, too. Like, you have that working relationship. And, yes, some people are going to become friends with some people, and some people aren't going to become friends with some people. But when Patrick Mahomes tried to spike that ball and it just like slipped off his hand and went haywire, of course everybody's laughing at that. It was a funny moment. So if that's what they're trying to float out there about the referees, again, kick rocks.
Do you want to guess who tweeted it?
Schefter, probably, right?
That's good. No, ML football.
Oh, they suck. Yeah, they're the worst on the internet. That ML football on X, formerly Twitter, they are engagement farmers. That's all they do. And most of the stuff that they put up there is so wildly just wrong. And it's so bad, but it gets you to click on it.
Yeah. So now the refs and Patrick Mahomes are even more friends.
Oh, boy.
That's right. This is Julian Edelman on, I believe it was Dan Patrick. No, it was Rich Eisen talking about what happened to them is now happening to the Chiefs and why everybody just needs to relax.
It's apparent when you're on top, everyone wants to try to bring you down. It's a bunch of bull-loney that the league is helping the Kansas City Chiefs. If you got a problem with it, go beat them. Okay, the refs aren't involved in when you throw interceptions, when you fumble the ball, when you jump off sides, when you don't convert third down or fourth down or third and fourth down for short four times. They can't control that. Like, if you want to beat them, go beat them. Don't talk about it. Be about it. I'm so sick and tired of hearing people say that about the Chiefs.
That's exactly right.
Thank you.
I mean, that's exactly right there. From a guy whose dynasty and legacy is... They may legacy on the line, but it's going to change. You know, if the Chiefs go ahead and win this three-peat, he's out there saying enough. Okay, enough. We've got to stop blaming referees and all this other stuff for the successes of the Chiefs. But when you have so much success and nobody knows what to do, it's always about blaming somebody else for their shortcomings. It's an epidemic that we have in this country today, off of the sports field, where it's everybody else's fault. It's never my fault. Well, maybe more people start taking culpability for things, the world will be a better place. But it's easier. And it's, I guess, more fun for people to complain and bitch about things instead of going out there and figuring out why something happened, right? Like, it's easy to say the refs messed it up. It's also harder to go out there and go, well, Josh Allen had an opportunity. They didn't get the fourth down. They had stupid play calling. And they ran the, you know, James Cook 13 times, who was averaging almost 6.5 yards per carry.
Then what happened? They stopped running the ball.
They stopped running the ball 2 years in a row in the AFC championship game when teams were running effectively and stopped running the football. But that's the ref's fault, right? Like we get to that because, again, it's just it's so easy and it's so simple and people click on that and they get emotional about that kind of stuff. When you have logical conversations with people and present facts that ruin their initial reaction – trademark pending. They do not want you to give them that information because they don't want to hear the truth. I've got my mind made up. Yeah, but here's the facts. Oh, I don't care. I'm still going to blame. Okay, fine. Fair enough. Go about your day.
Yeah. Again, we look at the alt lines. Minus, here you go, Mac, for you. 110 plus yards for Saquon Barkley in the Super Bowl is minus 144. I'm taking the under on that.
I'm taking the over.
Okay. I don't see that happening. But again, we'll see if they continue. Like Bob said, will they get out of their characteristics of what makes them great? Like,
and that's where Nick Sirianni. Yeah, but that's where Nick Sirianni is the head coach now. This is what you do as the head coach, right? This is why Sean McDermott is an abject failure as a head football coach in the postseason, because he doesn't reel in his guys. Like, he should have radioed up to the booth to that offensive coordinator that everybody loves. Going to be, he's so good. Radio up to the booth as the head coach and go, hey, bro, this guy's running 6.5 yards a clip. Why aren't we running James Cook? Like, that's your job as a head coach during the game. Checks and balances. Keeping, because you do get lost in calling a game. I've talked to guys who have called games before, and you're calling a play while thinking about the next play, while going through 10 different scenarios. Like, it just rapidly goes, right? And so you do get kind of lost in the trees, but that's where a good head coach comes into play and says, hang on a second here, guys. We haven't run James Cook in like 30 minutes, and he's getting 6.5 yards per carry. You need to get back to running James Cook. Let's go. That's what a good head coach does during the course of a game. That's why, in my opinion, Sean McDermott's not a good head coach. You had an opportunity to bring your offensive coordinator into the mix here and say, hey, let's do this. And if you did that as a head coach and he still didn't listen to you, then that's grounds for termination too.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's tough, man. It's like the quarterback conversation, though. It's like if Trevor Lawrence, you know, you don't think Trevor Lawrence is good, then what are you going to go get? Like, if you think you can fix it or you think you can get over the hump, you keep what you have that you know is proven. Like, you know there's talent there. You know there's, you fire Sean McDermott, like, what's next?
Well, that's the thing, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I was talking more Joe Brady grounds for termination. Like, if the coach tells you to run the football and you decide as the offensive coordinator, we're not going to do that, no, that's insubordination.
Right. And I think the other thing, too, is that I'm starting to have opposite takes in my head, but like I said last week, that the winner of the coin toss at the beginning of the game will win the AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the opposite. I think if you receive the ball in this game, you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you have a massive advantage if you go out there and score first, because you are behind. If you're the Eagles, you have to catch up.
Right.
And if you don't score on your opening drive and the Chiefs go at 14-0, Saquon Barkley can't get the ball every single time. So I don't know where I'm at right now.
Yeah, that's an interesting play on that one. And
but
that's
also you're forfeiting having the ball in the second half. But
right.
Again, if you're up, you know, early and they can't run the ball, then it doesn't really mean as much if you get the ball at the second half.
Or just have confidence in your defense like they did against Buffalo. Quick three and out and take the ball and score.
When's the last time somebody ran for 100 yards against the Chiefs? Because it wasn't Mixon. It wasn't Cook. Bye week in the first week of the playoffs. Nobody for Denver ran for 100 yards.
Was it, what's his name on Carolina?
Was it in Pittsburgh? Oh, was it? It was that big 60-yard bust.
He had a massive run.
What is that guy's name? Not Chuba Hubbard.
No, it was a backup.
But it wasn't the rookie they drafted.
It was, yeah. Gosh.
Was it?
I know who it was.
It was that McCaffrey guy.
No. Yeah. And then somebody in the text line says the Chiefs haven't given up 100 yards rushing from a running back in the playoffs since 2019.
Yeah, this is the best one they're going to face, though, I think, with the ability to break it. I mean, like Derrick Henry's all good. Like they, but you know what? This conversation, now that you say that, whoever said that on the text line, again, the wheels start turning as you hear things, starting to sound like the conversation we heard in 2019, nobody could stop Derrick Henry, and Frank Clark went, F that, and we're going to go and stop Derrick Henry. And what, they held him like 69 yards rushing that day or something like that?
Less than that,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, like they went down and shut down Derrick Henry in that Titans game because everybody said, oh, Derrick Henry's going to run all over Derrick Henry. And the Chiefs put the kibosh on that real fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's kind of the conversation leading into next week is Saquon Barkley, and the Chiefs are going to, we're going to shut him down too. You know, you go out there and you shut down Saquon Barkley. Now all of a sudden people are talking about your defense more than they're talking about the offense, you know?
Yeah. And that's what happened last year. Everybody was like, Christian McCaffrey, fumble.
Yeah, but
then Isaiah Pacheco fumbled, so it kind of is a moot point.
But still,
they were talking to him like he was a Greek god and that he was immortal, and then the first fumble.
And also, too, with the coin toss and winning and going up and all that, okay, that sounds wonderful, like going up 7-0.
Yeah.
If Nick Sirianni is a good head coach, which I think he is trending in that direction, again, I'm not there every day, I don't know, but it feels like it to me, he's gotten the two Super Bowls. You can't get out of your game plan. Okay, so they scored. Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Have confidence in what you've been putting in play for 2 weeks and go out there and execute it. When coaches get nervous, they get scared, they start coaching for their jobs, that's when things start to crumble. That's why having Andy Reid is awesome. He doesn't care. He's not coaching for his job. He's got self-esteem. A lot of these coaches don't. They fall down 7-0, and it's like, oh, my God, I got to figure out something different. No, you just put this whole game plan in. Use it.
J-Mac with the news.
He had no 100-yard rusher against the Chiefs in 2024. Regular season at all. Leonard Fournette in that Super Bowl, 89 rushing yards, but they got the run the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Mixon's had success on the Bengals and in the Texans.
Is this true that nobody's ran for 100 yards against Spagnuolo's defense from the Texan?
I'm going to have to call cap on that.
Yeah, I don't think that's
2 decades.
I mean, no. I mean, you tell me Steve Spagnuolo led defense when he was on some bad.
No, I'm talking about the Chiefs. The Chiefs with Spags.
Oh, the Chiefs with Spags?
In his whole 4 years?
I can't imagine that.
If that is the case and that is true.
Remarkable.
Why are we not talking about that?
Yeah, why are we not? Yeah,
we should look that up, though.
Nobody had
any 100 yards this year. Have to look at next year. And then we got two others. So we'll do that during the break. We'll come back. We'll have Goldilocks here on the other side. Alex Gold from That Betting Show.
Which one?
That one. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan. On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5, The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
All right, here we go. We got Alex Gold from That Betting Show.
Which one?
Well, we don't know. Which one?
That one.
That one.
That one.
So we're trying to do some due diligence on history here. I got to say, we got a text that says Spagnuolo, since he's been with the Chiefs, has not given up a 100-yard rush.
No, that's, I mean.
2024 is out. Nobody did it this year.
Right.
I don't know about last year.
Now, somebody did do it last year.
There's just here's why, without even looking it up, I think the answer is no for the regular season, because we would have been talking about that stat for the last couple of years.
I would think,
that's
right?
Why I told Bob, I was like, how do we miss this? Yeah.
So I think it's happened.
Somebody the text Matt McMullen.
The postseason part is pretty incredible, though. The fact that he hasn't in the postseason.
And the most ever is, I think Max had 89 to Fournette because they were up so big. They just kept handing the ball off.
Yeah, but I think also, too, if you want to say the postseason, that's fine. That's completely different than ever. I mean,
correct. Yeah.
Right. Zamir White, 145 yards last Christmas.
Nice. And it's over.
Thank you. On the Raider game. So basically inside a calendar year, which, the Chiefs have gone to 25
so that's
and one or something.
All right. Have they done it twice? no show last night, so you get to get all your bets off today.
Yeah, man. What do you do in a week like this?
It's so
college basketball.
No, this is still a great Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
And the thought process is, depending on where you're trying to bet, this is a great week for do all your prop stuff this week.
Mm-hmm.
Do all your prop stuff this week. Don't the spread. You can do that next week. The reason for that, especially if you're looking at overs, whether we're talking Barkley rushing, Mahomes passing, whatever it may be. If you're someone that likes the number, what you saw when it opened up on Monday, and you are already leaning towards the over, you want to bet your, if you're thinking overs, bet them early. Because when you have the masses betting on this, and I think the number last year, I don't know what the projection is. Last year, they thought 68 million American adults would bet on the Super Bowl.
Is that a lot?
$23 billion on the Super Bowl. This was last year, and that was a 30% increase from 2023. Okay. I haven't seen
how
the estimate
new
for this.
How many states are online this year for gambling,
Yeah. So
New
that,
Orleans
the,
is.
The,
I know that.
The percentage. Yeah, you can definitely go down there.
Louisiana.
I was going to say, for those that are going, real quick, for those that are going to New Orleans, they're a lot of the same apps, but there's one app that we don't have on the Kansas side right now that you can take advantage of a promo.
I can use DraftKings?
DraftKings down there, FanDuel's down there, but
you just have to change your state, when you're out of
Bet
town.
Bet365 is not in Kansas, and so if you've never signed up through them when you were in Iowa or Illinois, you guys should be able to get a little bonus when you're down there. But anyway, or any fans that are going down there as well.
I love getting a little bonus.
But yeah, Bob, so I don't know, I can't remember how many states went online, so the number, it'll probably increase from $23 billion, but the reason why I bring that up is the casual bettor in particular, our natural gut is we like points, we like overs. Nobody wants to bet unders. And so if you're thinking about betting overs, the better number is now, or honestly a couple of days ago, versus waiting till next Thursday. That, and then also the reason why I say props, the more exotic props, the what they call the specials. If you go on any of your books, they have a whole section called Super Bowl 59 specials, and these are the fun kind of more long shot bets. The odds on these are all going to go down as we get closer, because your buddies are going to talk about, did you see that? If Barkley gets an octopus or whatever, if those don't know what that is, it's a touchdown and a 2-point conversion from the same player. Like, that's 20-1 right now.
Does it have to be on the same play?
It happened in the Phoenix.
Of the eight.
No, I understand that, but I didn't know if you could get a touchdown and a 2-point conversion later if it counted that way.
No, it has to be an octopus is in the exact same possession or
which
scoring
happened
drive.
Last time they played Philadelphia in the Super Bowl.
So that's why everybody's talking about it again.
Okay.
It did happen. Jalen Hurts did it against the Chiefs.
What are the odds on something like that?
So this will run, at least at FanDuel, 27-1 for Hurts to do it.
Mm-hmm.
For Barkley to do it, it's 20-1. And then I don't see it right now, but back then, I'm sure you can still find it somewhere. Just anybody to have an octopus in the game probably is like a 10-1 bet, 9-1.
That doesn't seem like it should be bigger, I would think. That seems
it's because it happened recently, so now everybody's kind of on it. This
gotcha.
Is like this is
okay.
So a lot of these bets you want to do earlier. If you're looking at the Chiefs, are they going to cover 1.5? Like, that's not going to change much by the time we get to next Sunday. Like,
right.
You can wait on that if you want to just get a better feel. You want to make sure nobody gets hurt in a practice or something like that. Then by all means, go for it. But some of these props, especially the yardage, I think the biggest uptick in yardage, some of the most popular bets right now, I was pulling this up before I came on with you guys. Let me see if I can find the link on it. But basically, as you would expect, the Barkley yardage prop is very, very popular. So the number one bet right now is Barkley, but also Dallas Goedert, their tight end in Philly, over 48.5 receiving yards. We all know the story with the tight ends, and against Kansas City's defense, they've allowed now officially the second most receiving yards per game. Dalton Schultz went over in the divisional round. Dalton Kincaid did not, though. He only had 13 against Kansas City, but that's a popular bet. And so that's a number that keeps climbing Let's see where the latest is over at, even for FanDuel. My guess is it's gone up from 46. It's probably about 50 yards. Saquon Barkley's has gone up dramatically.
And that's just heavily influenced because the Chiefs and tight end history.
Yeah, and it's the popular bet. People just go with whatever, you know, everybody's kind of going with. The biggest mover this week, though, has been Mahomes' rushing yards. So we talked about it a week or two ago that in the playoffs, he runs more. And this past week, he went over his total. Mm-hmm. This thing opened at 26 yards. Oof. It's already up to 40 at some spots.
Oh, my God!
Yeah,
for Mahomes?
Yeah, at a couple bucks.
Have you ever seen something move like that before?
I'm sure it's happened, but not in regards to a quarterback rushing prop.
Not a prop bet. Yeah, that's
so
insane.
So let me see at FanDuel right now.
Oh, my God.
And again, I would say more than any other week.
Take the under.
So at FanDuel, it's 27.5, but a couple of these places, it's gone up above that. Let me see what the number. That move I'm citing from Action Network. So the exact, I'll read you the exact number for that as well. So Patrick Mahomes also rushing total open 20.5. It was bet up to 40.5 on Tuesday morning. This was at BetMGM. But this is why you shop around. I can still get 27.5 at FanDuel.
Underdog has 29.5.
Yeah, it's going to keep going. It's going to keep going up. So again, if you really still like the over, like bet it now.
What do you think about that one? Like, what? Where would that number be for Mahomes? Where you're like, I'm always going to take the owner, except if over until they get to here.
Yeah, anything above 30, I'm not taking anymore.
So what about 29.5? What do you do there?
Yeah, I would leave if I had to make the bet. I would take the over.
Yeah,
the numbers on the reason why it keeps getting bet up. Has been everybody's narrative around him rushing in the postseason, but he's only gone over 20 over that 4 of 9 playoff games over the last 3 postseasons. There's also the rushing attempt market. Remember, kneel downs count. So if you think the Chiefs are in a position to kneel, so 4.5 for the AFC title game, and he went over that because they, of course, had the kneel downs as well.
That counts as a rushing attempt, but it also gives you negative yards.
That's the tricky thing. You can lose 15 yards pretty quick. You know, Mahomes does the one where he goes way back.
Yeah.
You know, you could lose a lot quick, but it's at 6.5 at most sports books. It's still 5.5 at BetMGM. This week in particular, this game, you really do have to shop around. I know you all have your favorite book. Like, I use FanDuel, but you really need to look around because you can cost yourself. We were talking in the bullpen with Cody about Noah Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying to bet this, but just 2 touchdowns for Noah Gray, okay? On one book, he's 95-1 to do that, okay? $10 pays $950.
It's nice, yeah.
Another book, it's 40-1. I mean, that's a huge, that's half the odds. That's a huge swing. So you got to just be smart. I would shop around on some of these, and before you hit submit, just go see. Like, if it's that big of a swing, you got to bet it at the other book. I'm sorry. You just do. If one's 9.5 and one's, 93-1 instead of 95-1. Okay, maybe it's easier. You got your money in the account already.
Right.
But that's too big of a difference to not bet the 95 in that example than 40. I mean, that's crazy.
I thought the books were pretty like lockstep with each other, you know?
This is why the prop market is fun, because it's gotten tighter than it used to be, but prop market is much tougher to judge for the books. It's much easier for them to set the line of 1.5 or a total 49.5 points for a game versus the prop market. It's a market that people can get ahead of. And this is why I'm saying bet props this week. Next week, everything's going to be adjusted. It's either the value is gone. Like, you wait till next Thursday on props, the value is just gone. The yardage for Barkley on rushing right now is 112.5. It might continue to go up. Maybe all of a sudden there's value on the under. But this is what I'm saying. If you're thinking about betting overs, you want to bet the overs now. The chances of the yardage going down from where it is today is very slim, just because so many people like betting. It's fun. Points. Yards.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like, so that's kind of how I would approach betting it. And then there's, the fun props. Unfortunately, you can't bet on Gatorade color in Kansas.
Or length of the national.
Now, let me ask you this. Will that be allowed in Missouri?
There's a chance, depending on, I don't know what the specific language. Each state is different.
Yeah.
So a chance, yes. I don't know what the specific language would have to be for that. I think it's Illinois. There's like 8 states that you can do Gatorade color. Otherwise, you got to go offshore.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been a market that has been written about even by Mike Florio and others, because there's been some irregularities over the years with this, because it's one of the markets that's very easy to spill the beans on, right?
Yeah,
And so the last 2 Chiefs games in the Super Bowl, when they've won, have been purple.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, if you bet offshore or something, it's +210 is purple. You know, do you think, okay, they're just going to go back to purple at 3-peat again? Or
well,
do you think,
I mean,
you know,
you would think superstition would lead you to think purple, right?
Or are they worried because, you know, look, let's be honest. People have talked. That's why this... Mm-hmm.
Now it'll be orange.
But if you're the, like, I know, like, with the NFL and their teams, like, everything is thought about and planned out.
Sure.
And superstitions do run wild. They want to stay at the same hotels and all that kind of stuff. And I could see that being one of them. Look, we've won two Super Bowls with that purple Gatorade. You better make sure there's purple Gatorade in that cooler. You know?
Yeah. Why would you stop now? Yeah,
right.
I mean, I'm with you. So,
and it's the better
again,
flavor.
You can't bet on that here. I don't know if you can in Louisiana. You guys have to check on that. But if you can't when you get down there... I mean, purple. But that's also a market that'll drastically change next week because rumors will start up, somebody will open their mouth, and all of a sudden you'll see one of these Gatorade colors. Either purple will go down to minus whatever or another one. And it doesn't just happen by accident. It's because somebody gets, I mean, with all of these, there's always inside information. Doesn't mean we all know about it, but like there's somebody in Vegas or wherever, somebody opens their mouth, somebody hears something, and then they adjust the line accordingly. I mean, that's how a lot of this stuff is set to when it comes to the props. But the props are always the market where you can have I would say the bettor has the best chance of taking advantage of versus just minus 1.5, which, like, look, I'm going to be betting the Chiefs to win the game. Spoiler. You know, but that market's not changing
such
much.
A homer.
You know, I know, right?
So when you've got all the prop bets done this week, then what is next week about for bettors? What should they be kind of focused on, looking at, thinking about?
I mean, monitor injury news, you know? Yeah. I mean, that it sounds silly, but like...
O-line and Philly's hurt.
Yeah, just see where injury stuff, because that, you know, depending on the player, though, like an offensive lineman being out, it's not going to suddenly swing the line 3 points, you know?
But it'll move Saquon's number down, wouldn't it? Could, you would think?
It could, depending on the injury. Yeah, stuff like that can change. You'll start to see next week some of the bigger sites in the betting world, if they're all pushing a certain prop, all of a sudden that market's going to shift, and so you keep an eye on that. Maybe all of a sudden there is value on something that there wasn't value on this week.
Yeah.
But the total, like I would say, next week the most likely thing to move other than props will be the total more than the spread. Like maybe the spread goes to 2, maybe it goes down to 1, but the Chiefs aren't going from 1.5-point favorites to 3.5 or 3-point favorites unless there's a significant injury news or something going on. But the total, 49.5, much like the yardage stuff, I will be shocked if it goes down. Like if the total moves at all, it's going up.
I've got it at 48.5 as of right now.
And it's 49.5 at FanDuel. So again, shop around. Like
what'd you say your Noah Gray 2 touchdowns was?
95-1.
So at DraftKings, it's plus 5,500.
So same deal.
Yep.
It's a bad number.
That to me is like,
because it's 10 to win 560, where his is 10 to win 950.
Yeah.
Like, why would you?
And look, it's a long shot. Doing it for fun because but
I'm playing your ideology of hey, don't go here. You don't have to stay here. You can go.
Yeah. And in like for just any time touchdown, just single touchdown, I'm sure if we were to go and cross check it book by book, you'd find other irregularities between, the books. I mean, Saquon's probably the favorite of every single book to score a touchdown.
Yeah, DraftKings, he's minus 200. Then it's Jalen Hurts at minus 110. Then the plus money is Travis Kelce is the next one at plus 135. And him to get 2 touchdowns is only plus 1,000.
So he's 9.5-1 to do 2 touchdowns at FanDuel. Whereas, you mentioned Saquon's minus or 200
at DraftKings.
He's minus 195 at FanDuel. So that's very close.
Yeah.
What do you think would cause more of a ruckus, if you will, a disturbance on the line? Saquon Barkley injury or Jalen Hurts injury?
Saquon.
I still think the quarterback, man.
Really?
I still, even though.
Kenny Pickett would drastically change the Chiefs to 6.5.
I'd have to go. There's a chart. Somebody has a chart where they lay out how many points each quarterback is worth to the odds makers. And I think Mahomes.
Do they use the infinity signal for Patrick?
Yeah, they should, right? No, I think I didn't check this. I want to say he's obviously worth the most points. Is it 5.5 or 6, something like that? Or is Jalen Hurts maybe he's. I honestly don't know the number. I'm guessing he's probably 4,
sure,
or something like that. So the quarterback is still the most important position, obviously. So
yeah.
Barkley's huge, I mean, but it's still the quarterback for them. I was just going to say on the MVP front real quick, guys.
Yeah, I wanted to get to that next. Yeah, because, I mean, there's not a lot of money in that, right?
So I think personally only 3 players can win it. There's one that I would be open to sprinkling. So for those that don't know, right now Mahomes is plus 110, at least at FanDuel, to win MVP. Barkley's plus 280. Jalen Hurts is plus 370. Of course, the Eagles players are not having better odds because they're the underdogs in the game. So we all know you got to win to be an MVP. So then we just know this to become a quarterback award, much like a lot of the awards markets. Barkley's the one exception to this. You can see a formula, right, guys? If he has 180 yards and two touchdowns and they win, and Jalen Hurts has a touchdown and a buck 90, like, they're going to probably give it to Barkley in that scenario.
Yeah.
Whereas on the Chiefs side,
like when they gave
it's
it to
hard
Williams.
To imagine. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. Because
what did you say when they gave it to Damian Williams?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's
Patrick Mahomes.
But Barkley has the, you know, but Barkley has the narrative on his side too, he does, because he's also had a great year.
Yeah.
But that what you said about Damian Williams is why I think it's so difficult to bet on anybody other than Mahomes to win MVP on the Chiefs side, because Damian Williams probably should have been the MVP in that game, and he wasn't, right? And ultimately he didn't win it. You know, Travis Kelce's the only other player I would consider throwing a dollar or two on. He's 18-1, and that is just that. Yeah, the yardage he gets, of course, Mahomes gets as well. This is why he's 18-1. But maybe, yeah, just maybe there's some, it's, you know, the talk about retirement, the Taylor Swift thing, and you just think somehow it all comes together and it's almost too perfect and people vote on him. Otherwise, I just, like, putting money on Xavier Worthy at 30-1, I think you're throwing your money away. What is he doing? Is he taking a jet sweep for 85 yards and a touchdown? And he also has two other touchdown catches? Like,
Can I throw a wild card at you?
Yeah, let me hear it.
Okay, Harrison Butker.
That was the thing last year. That was, last year in Vegas, that was the popular one. And until overtime, he was going to win. Like, if he would, like, it, once it went to overtime, it was over for Butker because Mahomes was going to lead them down to a game winning drive. And that's what's so interesting. People will be like, hey, Butker almost won, but I can do that for
like
every
bet. Like, if he kicks
the
game winning field goal,
what's the score, though? 6-3?
But it's never going to be that with these two teams.
I see what you're saying. That's what's tough.
But what if it's 23-20 and he kicks the game-winning field goal and the Chiefs win 23-20?
Is that the only field goal he has?
Well, you're at 20 before that, so I'm going to say there's probably another one there. I'm not going to say he's missing. Because if he misses an extra point, he's out of the conversation.
He had to go like full like Boswell for Pittsburgh, what he did to Kansas City.
It's just 5-for-5 or 6-for-6 type
honestly,
of thing.
Honestly, Bob, you need last year's Super Bowl, except in overtime, the Chiefs somehow... They don't get the ball first or whatever.
Is Tony Danza still kid for the Eagles? Is that the guy?
It's Elliot.
Josh Elliott.
Jacob.
I hear you, Bob. He's, by the way, was it 200-1? Something like that. Let's see. $10 to win 2,000. Yeah, for Butker to win MVP. Too many things have to happen.
He kicked a game records kick last year.
Yeah, and he's still
wasn't even close.
It's just tough. I mean, we all know the last time they played the Eagles for a quarter and a half, and especially if the Bolton returns not called back for a touchdown. Nick Bolton for a little while, people are like, wow, maybe Nick Bolton has a chance to win.
No doubt.
But all it takes is a game-winning drive from Mahomes, and it's over. He's winning it automatically.
Yeah, like now, I do believe, because I haven't been to a Super Bowl game since, I want to say, the Raiders. Okay, so that's 20-some years ago. If I'm not mistaken, any media member got the opportunity to vote for the MVP and all that stuff. Were they still doing that the last couple of years?
Yeah, the media.
So you had an MVP vote and everything like that for the Super Bowl.
So the media that are not every media member that's there.
Okay.
Though. Yeah. So I did not have a.
You did not have a vote. So they scaled that back a little bit.
Yeah. They sure didn't come and ask me. I'll just tell you that.
let me ask that guy.
Like, he gambles.
Yeah.
If you're a vote, that's what I'm getting at. Like, if you're a voter in this,
you probably should not be. Yes.
You should probably not be allowed to be betting.
I would agree. Like, I don't know how they cross-check that.
I understand. Like, but like, well, the NFL figures it out. Believe me, they find these guys doing all the illegal stuff, gambling. But I'm saying, like, if you are one of these guys or gals that like votes for the MVP of the regular season and coach of the year and all that kind of stuff, you should not be allowed to gamble that because that is a conflict of interest.
Yeah, well, Tom 100% Brady can announce football games. So
yeah, no, I'm with
weird
you.
Things.
Someone on the text line said, hey, didn't Cooper Kupp win MVP? Yeah, wide receivers won it before, but remember what circumstance had to happen. He had 8 catches for 92 yards and 2 touchdowns in the Rams win. He also scored the game-winning touchdown with 125 left. He also ran for a first down on 4th-and-1. And the Matthew Stafford stat line was unimpressive in that game. He had 2 interceptions. Yeah, 3 touchdowns, but he threw 2 picks. So that's the scenario.
Yeah,
it's very specific.
Two interceptions, like you're out. You know?
Yeah. Is there a 0% chance that somebody other than Mahomes can win? Of course, it's not a 0% chance. It's just, you know, I just understand like the the fine line that you're talking about there. I mean,
well,
I would almost rather bet on a defensive player, like somehow out of nowhere. But even for Chris Jones to win it, like Chris Jones would have to have,
he'd have to have three sacks and one would be a strip sack, fumble, touchdown.
And he's the one that returns it for a touchdown.
Yeah. Does Bolton get MVP 2 years ago if he scores?
Thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're good.
I'm kidding. No, he said that if, in fact, he would have gotten that second touchdown, 100%.
That's exactly.
But does he get it, though? Do people vote for him, or are we still going to the quarterback?
If the defensive player, it's like he just defended with Cooper Kupp. Like,
right.
If Nick Bolton had two touchdowns as a middle linebacker in a Super Bowl, he's doing outlier type of stuff to where it's like, clearly this guy is known for 12 points himself. He's the MVP. It's like, I think it was Dexter Jackson when Tampa and Vegas played. Yeah. He won the MVP because he had
Malcolm Butler.
Yeah.
But again, think about that play. Think about the plays that happen. I mean, it can happen. It just takes extraordinary moments, and the game flow has to be kind of perfect as well.
Yeah,
because I just feel like even if Bolton did that, we still have Patrick Mahomes on one ankle.
Also, like Nico, for example, like just to be way crazy, like Nico Remigio. Okay, he's on the board here to win Super Bowl MVP. He was on your show last week or whatever.
Yeah,
he's
on Kay Adams. I got to figure out how I go from here to Kay.
You
Adams.
Need Kay Adams. Right. Yeah,
I can hook you up with the handler. Oh, maybe you can get on Kay Adams that way. I don't know.
Get on.
He said it, not me. 10 to win 6,000. Remigio would probably guys have to return two kicks for a touchdown.
Oh, you think two, not like one wouldn't get it done?
No,
really?
Did Desmond Howard win it that year though? All the way in for Green Bay against.
But it's become more and more of a quarterback award. Like if it was the only touchdown in the game, Bob, then that's all he would need to do. But if it's 28-21 and it's tied at 21 and Remigio returns it, maybe if it's like on the final second of the game. Otherwise, like he might have to return two of them.
He'd have to have like a punt for a touchdown and a kickoff for a touchdown.
I do like this bet, though, that I just found.
Yeah.
On DraftKings, it's under, what is it, like game I don't know.
Game specials or something?
Yeah, something like that. Trending specials.
Okay.
It says, X gon' give it to you.
Okay.
Xavier Worthy to have 15 yards rushing or more and 85 yards receiving or more plus 750.
Yeah, they're getting you on the rushing.
I know.
That's where they
because he only gets about one attempt a game.
They're getting you in there on the rushing. Well,
he used to be my lock. It used to be every week it was like 4 yards, 4.5, 3.5, and then it's gone. Now it's like 15, 18.
Yeah, I mean, he had 16 last week, but prior to that, that was the most.
Would you say the number was 18?
15 yards rushing, of course it is.
He had 16 in the title game. He had here's this other scary thing.
So 100 total yards is what they're getting at. Yeah.
And he had -8 against the Texans because that's the dangerous thing on the jet sweep. He could have had a great 20-yard run for you, and you're thinking, man, I got this. And then Dusty, they run one more time, and he loses 9 yards, and you're done.
Well, that was like the bet I had at the last game of the year. Carson Wentz, over half total yard for the game. And he ended up with 10 total yards for the game.
Would that not be the ultimate flex at the end of the game? The Chiefs are up by like 14 points, and all of a sudden Andy puts Winston there.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. How awesome would that be? Yeah.
It would be incredible.
It'd be the biggest troll job of all time. What do you guys got coming up on Cody and Gold today?
Yeah, I mean, that's great.
Andy, you got to do it, buddy.
We have Vern join us for a little bit, too. Before we even knew the news about their signing, we want to talk to him a little bit. The Royals rally going on.
He's got a big show Saturday, right?
This weekend. Yeah, he'll be on the air Saturday. And then I want to talk a bit more about how rematches usually go in these kind of games, in particular teams facing each other again with the same coach, the same quarterback, 4-0. Yeah, Dusty, exactly. So we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. Plus Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes speaking right around 11:45 here on 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah, all listen. Right. All right. Well, we'll see you then. He did mention Josh Vernier on the air 9 to noon this Saturday as Royals rally over at the old K.
Yeah, we'll have Q on tomorrow at 8:30 talking about
that.
That's
right. Vern will have some loaded guests. He'll have Bobby Witt Jr. at 9:45, Jonathan India, new Royal, at 10, J.J. Piccolo at 10:45, Cole Reagans at 11, and then our guy, Matt Cotrero, at 11:15.
There you go, Vern.
There you go. Big Vern's back, baby.
God, it's time. I mean, spring training starts next week, boys.
Thank God for a winning football team. Coming up on the other side, I want to get to something that somebody sent me yesterday about doing something nice for somebody because it's absolutely awesome. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Final segment here on Fesco and Dusty. We kind of end with a, I don't know, fill your heart with joy. It's kind of gloomy outside. Maybe you're a little depressed. Maybe you're down. Our buddy Blair Falcone, great guy. Done a lot of good for me.
Friend of Rob Maloney's, too.
Yeah, great dude. Blair Falcone, listener, daily listener, P1, A1 from day one. He says, first off, congratulations to you guys getting to go down to the Super Bowl. Second, I am once again following in your footsteps and doing things good for people and others. After the game, I posted confetti for anyone who wants some after the AFC Championship game. My thought is, not everybody gets to go to a Chiefs game ever in their life, let alone an AFC Championship game. So the least I can do is put a smile on people's faces and give them a part of history. Over 70 people responded and gave me their address, and I'm mailing it out today. I figured I could cover the postage and give people history and make them smile free of charge. Thanks again for inspiring others to do good things for people. And in the picture, there is a certificate of authentication that is from the AFC Championship game, and then a stack of letters to go out so that everybody can get some confetti that maybe not, I would have been there. Like, that's the thing. It's like Cody and Gold told me, like, if you go and they win, bring back some confetti because it sells in the garage sale. Like, yeah. you just never know how important certain things are. So, again, Blair, hats off to you. Thanks for being a perfect person sometimes. It's you don't find a lot of those guys, but he gave me a Sandlot picture of all the characters, and every single character signed it above their name.
Whoa, that's cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
If you could get an autographed photo of like any movie cast, that's probably one of the top on the list. I mean, when you think about like great movies of,
he's like, I just figured you love Sandlot. You talk about it all the time. I was like, dude, this is my childhood. This was my movie. I watched it all the time.
That's
so
cool.
Old that I used to watch it, put it in the VHS rewinder, shut it, start it up again. So, again,
is that one that you can just watch over and over and over again and just like never get sick of it?
Yeah. I'm not even kidding with the no sports. AMC has had Shawshank and Forrest Gump on.
I know.
I've watched Shawshank and Forrest Gump.
Yeah. What also, too, is Netflix yesterday finally released their version of the OJ documentary
series. I'm done.
Series.
I don't need any more.
I kind of felt that way. Then I got a text from somebody who goes, oh, my God, this may be the best one. I'm like, oh, okay. I
mean, how many more, like, subplots are there? I mean, I guess you haven't watched it yet, so I'll wait.
Yeah, no, I'll let you know. But you
like
know.
I told everybody, I wasn't going to watch the
but
document.
I'm obsessed with that. Like that's my,
I would say, 94
obsession. You know, that was senior year of high school, getting ready to go to college. Like it was my wheelhouse. The Knicks are in the NBA finals. There's no Jordan to worry. Oh my God, it's OJ. And you know, I've done a lot. Like
you
I've
go
got,
back in time.
Yeah,
because you're prevalent then. Like I was. I think 94, what would I have been? I've been 6, 7.
Yeah.
And the only thing I remember about that situation was my grandparents lived across the street, and we would get home and we would go straight over to my grandparents' house and we'd sit in front of the TV. We watched the entire chase.
So, yeah, you watched it. We watched the entire trial. I did anyway. In college. Like that was like running home. It used to be like, you know, Dukes of Hazzard and Jerry Springer.
It was must-see TV.
Yeah. And then Dukes of Hazzard, Jerry Springer was after OJ because OJ was my freshman year. And I remember the verdict and the reaction and, you know, everything. So, you know, for me, it's like, it's my obsession, you know, outside of, you know, life in general. Like if there's something about OJ, like I'm in. I always crave more and more and more information on that and more, I don't know, stories, if you will, and facts and things of that nature, because it still is one of the most bizarre things we've ever witnessed in our lifetime. Like they still say to this day, it was the busiest pizza delivery day in the history of the world. Cause you're watching the NBA finals and then the OJ and nobody's leaving their couch when OJ Simpson, I mean, I drive a white Bronco. Okay. There are
because of
big portion of, I talked for years if the Bronco ever came out, I was going to get a white Bronco. And then the Bronco came out. I had to get the white Bronco. Right.
Yeah.
And so like, that was just such a big part of that 2 years for me where you were fully invested and these people became TV characters. And when the thing came out on FX, we had a lot of those folks on from the movie and talked about it. I mean, it was unbelievable. The word spectacular comes to mind, but it's two murders. It's not spectacular, but the whole way that thing was televised and consumed by America. Insane.
I think it was not the one that they had John Travolta in it, but the actual documentary that came out on like ESPN at 30 for 30. I think the craziest thing that I thought was interesting was, obviously I knew about, as I got older, all the events that were around it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say like, obviously like the strike was happening. The Olympics were happening.
That's right. 94 was the strike.
That I think it's called like June 7th, 1994.
Yes, that is great.
I say that's right in your wheelhouse. Yeah. If you talk about being like alive in that time of period. But you had Olympics. You had, because I think the United States had just beaten Brazil and the World Cup was in, maybe it was the World Cup.
It was the World Cup in 94.
The United States was in Chicago. And I think they either beat Brazil or they had a big, big upset win. The strike had happened, OJ happened, and obviously the Rodney King stuff had just happened. So there was like all this like turnover in the world from all different aspects. And I remember the one thing
the Rodney King happened in 92, and that's important in the OJ thing because that set the tone for where race relations were in Los Angeles
and
at that time.
Televised, like there it was on camera.
Yes, yes.
And I think the one thing that I thought was interesting was that the deliberation period was super short.
90 minutes.
And they were like, you're like, why would they come to such a short? You don't realize that trial went on forever.
For a year, these people were like basically locked up in a hotel.
And they're like, we don't care. Like, that's literally that's the take I took from it. Was like, he's innocent. We don't care. He's had enough like evidence. Like, just get us out of here.
He's not guilty. We're done. We're out of here. And I love hearing the jurors tell that story. They get back to the deliberation room. They look around like, all right, not guilty. Everybody good. Fine. Mm-hmm. Done. And then they just kind of sat there for a little bit because they had to call everybody because like all the lawyers were going up to Northern California for the weekend thinking they were going to get out of town, the deliberation. And like all these folks are starting to get out of town and take their private jet and they get the call. The jury has reached a decision. Everybody right back to the courthouse.
Yeah. No Olympics. I meant the World Cup is what I meant.
That's what you said.
Yeah. I said Olympics originally, but sorry. Yeah. No Olympics. 94. It was 92, 96. Cause 96 was what, Atlanta when that happened.
Yes. Yeah. I believe that was 96.
Yeah. Somebody says from 75, Domino's set the record for most pizzas sold in a day during the chase, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to leave.
Why would you? I mean, think about
the other thing I realized was the conversation he was having with, like, what was his lawyer best friend on the phone? He's like,
it was Kardashian. That's why the Kardashians are famous. Yeah. It's not because they did anything, it's because he was OJ's best friend and one of his lawyers. Well, but they wouldn't be going viral. Nobody would know who they were without the father being, you know, part of it. And then, you know, it just exploded from there. They took advantage of their fame, and here we sit. But, I mean, it was the dream team of lawyers. It was, you know, him on the phone, you know, Al Cowling's driving the thing. I mean, like, the whole thing, people with signs, go, OJ, go, like, I mean, we've never seen anything like it to this day. And again, it goes back to the fact that cable was around, but everybody watched the networks. You were watching the basketball game.
Right. Not only that, but like, I think the other thing that's quite shocking that a lot of people, because you mentioned this quite a bit, like people don't remember where other people originally were. Like there's a lot of people that probably grow up and don't know that Andy Reid coached for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, so you say that, right?
And I say that about OJ. Like, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I think a lot of people were so stunned and shocked because OJ was the funny guy in Naked Gun. Mm-hmm. Like, he was, you know, I forget what his name is in that movie.
Nordberg,
that's right. So he's the funny guy, always getting injured, doing all this sort of stuff, was on TV, was Mr. 2,000 yards for the Buffalo Bills, was all this guy, and then all of a sudden, two dead people at his house, and he's chasing and running from the cops, and it's on television, everybody's like, we saw this guy growing up as like Mr. Movie, Mr. TV, Mr. Entertainment, and now his legacy dead and gone. Nobody cares because he's a scumbag is where it just all changed like over one period of time when he did this whole thing. So it's interesting because 94, again, I was born in 87. So I was 6 years old, 6 and a half. Cause it happened in June.
Yeah.
I'd have turned 7 in that July. I don't really know what's going on, but even being a 6 year, 6 and a half, almost 7 year old kid, I remember that chase. I remember being in front of an old school plasma, big TV at my grandparents' house.
Yeah.
And I remember going over there and watching the trial, Johnny Cochran, all that sort of stuff. I remember all that very, very vividly. But at the time, didn't understand why it was so impactful.
Yeah, but he was, and I don't know that there's been anybody since that has been a pop culture icon like O.J. Simpson was as well. And that's the thing that I continue to go back to. I have deleted all of the emails, by the way.
Oh, nice, down to zero.
Uh-huh. And
even the newest reply all today?
Yes, yep, got rid of it. So I'm down to nothing.
Okay.
So here, you know, he was a pop culture icon, like, as you mentioned, a great college football player, great professional football player, actor, TV commentator. Like, he was the guy in America.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh-baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, it's Mark Schler of the Sink of Truth podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Sink of Truth podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buddy loved OJ commercials and whatnot, and then that happened, and it was like, oh my God, this is the guy that we all, literally everybody loved, yeah. O.J. Simpson. And I don't know that we've seen a pop culture icon quite to that level. And then Tim Meadows on Saturday Night Live was always fun,
Norm McDonald.
Oh, Norm McDonald, I mean.
You know, O.J. murdered 2 people. In other news, the Yankees have won, and O.J. still gets away with murder.
Right.
But no, I probably, gosh dang it, now I'm going to have to go watch that documentary. Don't forget, big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. Don't forget, Royals baseball coverage starts this Saturday on this station from 9 until noon with Big Vern. He's going to have guests like Bobby Witt Jr., Matt Cotrero, J.J. Piccolo, Cole Reagans, guys like that. You'll want to be getting tuned in because it is the Royals. What is it like? They still call it Fan Fest? Royals?
Fan Fest, yeah. Kind of like they're sending off the spring training party and you know whatnot. Yeah, call it Fan Fest.
Get your sour cream ready. Hey, keep doing it, folks. Keep doing it. Doing nice things for people. You never know, like Blair did. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, their year, their decade, whatever it could be. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind. Cody and Golden Drew from 10 to 2 here on 96.5 The Fan.